Thank you for listening to the Pillar Podcast, where we cover a wide variety of content pertinent to pastors who value Reformed theology, Baptist distinctives, and the primacy of the local church and missions. Visit thepillarnetwork.com for more info.
Before we jump into this week's podcast, a few announcements about Pillar and the upcoming Southern Baptist Convention. First, sign up for our Pillar Morning Fellowship. Tickets are going fast. At this fellowship, we will have a panel, some refreshments, coffee, and a good time of fellowship with our pastors from across the U.S. The event will run the morning of June 12th. That's the Wednesday right before the morning session of the SBC. Second, I would encourage you to swing by the Pillar Network booth at this year's Southern Baptist Convention. We have a larger space than last year with plenty of room to reconnect with our network partners and pastors, as well as meet pastors interested in the network. And finally, the Baptist 21 panel will be the morning of June 11th. That's the Tuesday right before the Southern Baptist Convention. Early bird tickets are still available, but they're going fast. So sign up soon if you plan to attend. And you can sign up or learn more about all these things at thepillarnetwork.com. We look forward to connecting with you soon. Now back to the podcast. Well, welcome to the Pillar Network podcast. I'm your host, Nate Aiken, and I have with me today several brothers to talk about cooperative planning. I'm going to let them introduce themselves and give their bios, but we're going to talk a little bit today about what we hope to do as the Pillar Network. And so, Stephen Karn, why don't you just introduce yourself, who you are, and also tell us how you came to know the Lord, how you got into ministry.
Hi, my name is Stephen Karn. I'm the senior pastor at Hamilton Baptist Church, and I'm thankful to be here. I grew up in Southern California and just south of LA in a little beach town, Huntington Beach, as a non-believer and in a non-believing family. I was invited to church my junior year in high school to a thing called a youth group. Never heard of such things. And I was invited by a non-believer to pick up on girls. And walked into church. I immediately saw gospel community amongst about 30 teenagers. And heard the gospel in the form of a song, "Lord, I Lift Your Name on High." And I was immediately convinced that there was a God, and I was unreconciled to him, felt like I couldn't breathe. And over the next 3 months, I read the Bible cover to cover, and God did a great work of redemption in my life as a young non-believing man. So in his grace, he began to redeem my family. My girlfriend, who's now my wife, came to faith, and my parents came to faith. My brothers came to faith. Her brother came to faith. So worship pastor, her mom came to faith. So God just did a good and glorious work. Ministry was, got into vocational ministry when I was working on my PhD at Duke University in international political economy, and did not think I was going into ministry. I just took a job at the church in order to have money. We were really, really poor. And so the church said, "We'll pay you to teach the Bible." I said, I'll do that while I'm studying, and began to fall in love with ministry and that work. And God began to kind of navigate my heart towards that.
Did you finish your PhD?
No, I got out with a master's degree. There's more to that story. I also couldn't. I took a polygraph exam 5 times with the government and failed all 5 times. So most career opportunities that I was pursuing were closed to me. And so at the same, I laugh about it now, but I wasn't laughing 20 plus years ago. So I couldn't pass a lie detector exam, so I decided to become a pastor. Is the short story.
So to pass it means you have to be able to lie and like be believable. Is that how, was that
no,
what that
no,
means?
No, I don't.
Yeah, what does that mean though? Tell us about that.
Yeah, no. So yeah, you're taking. For me, I was taking the polygraph, and you're strapped into a chair for hours in a small room being asked questions. And the first question they ask you is, "Do you intend to tell the truth?" Of course, I said yes. And then every other question after that, it came up that I was lying. You know, have you committed any terrorist acts? You know, have you committed any major felonies? You know, and it's so lie. So, yeah, it was a fun experience.
If you don't know Stephen Karn, he is the world's most interesting man. And so there's a reason why he can't pass. That's amazing. That's awesome. I want to ask you a few more questions in a minute. But Cody, first, Cody Snyder, tell us about yourself, how you came to the Lord, and where you're serving right now.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. My name's Cody. I serve as the lead pastor of Lovettsville Baptist Church. I was born and raised in Western Central Pennsylvania. Grew up there in a Christian family, grew up going to church, heard the gospel at a young age, knew very much that I was a sinner, and I knew very much at a young age that my only hope to be redeemed from my sin was Jesus. And so there's not much of my life that I don't remember believing or thinking about Jesus. Now, that being said, we all grow up and we have to learn more. And I remember when I was in high school, somewhere about there, that was kind of collided with different views of the world, different views of Jesus, and really thinking, is this actually true? Do I believe this, or did I just inherit this from my family? But through God's grace and good books and my church, I just became even more convinced that Jesus really got up from the dead and that his words are true. And so that just sparked a fire in me. I started reading the Bible more, loving the Bible more. And for some reason, my church gave me opportunities to start doing this thing called preaching. And I loved it. I loved the thought of reading the Bible, studying the Bible, and then sharing it with people and pleading with them to obey it, to trust Jesus. And so that just grew in my heart, and talking to other pastors who were in my life, they said, you want to be a pastor, you should go study how to be a pastor. Maybe that's not the best first step, but that's what I did. And I went to Bible college. Then after that, went to seminary. And while I was in seminary, I really got a vision for the plan for the church and how God uses the local church, certainly preaching, but also just the fellowship of believers, the encouragement of believers to complete his mission. And so, yeah, my journey started in a Christian home somewhere in high school. Just the resurrection made more and more sense to me. And I thought, I can't spend my life doing anything else. I don't want to. And then just the love of preaching and teaching. And so that's my very brief story into ministry.
That's wonderful. Stephen, so just for kind of listeners to get to know you a little bit. So you got into ministry, it seems, a little bit later. Obviously, you were already pursuing PhD, but do you remember the first time you preached on a Sunday morning and what the text was?
Yeah, it was, I do. So I started ministry when it was October of 1998. So I was 24 years old.
Okay.
I probably preached maybe 6 months after that, and Romans 12, 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm. A good exposition?
I don't know. You know, Spurgeon counseled his students to keep your old sermons so that you can weep over them. And I'm afraid to go back and I still have the tape, but I'm afraid there'll be quite a bit of weeping. Yeah.
If we find that, that's going to be next week's edition of the Pillar Podcast. So, Cody, what about you, brother? When's the first time you preached on a Sunday morning? And do you remember the text?
Yeah, I was around 15 or 16 years old that they let me do this. And, I preached on one verse, Romans 1:16. It was not an exegetical sermon. It was very much a topical sermon, and I was still, you know, going through puberty. And so what I remember about that was my voice in the middle of the sermon just completely cracked. And so that was recorded on a cassette tape, and that is hidden in a very secret file that I have not listened to since. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. We also have on here, Dave Keene. Dave is kind of oversees our regions. And this is something we want to, like what we're talking about today is cooperative church planting. And Dave is obviously trying to encourage that among our regions. And so Dave, thanks for joining us. I do want to start with, and Dave, I'll come to you first and then come to the other brothers. When you think about, so, you know, obviously we're trying to promote cooperative church planting. We want to do confident cooperative church planting because we want to do this around a kind of a doctrinal base, obviously a confessional base. But what texts come to mind as you think about the New Testament and you think about the thoughts of a kind of cooperation among churches?
Yeah, I mean, I think the key text for me is usually Acts 11, you know, the church in Jerusalem sending out Barnabas to Antioch, figure things out. Antioch gets Saul. And they kind of spend a year and a half in the church there. The church is struggling in Jerusalem, needs money, so they send money back there. So there's this collaboration going back and forth. Maybe even Paul's letter to the Colossians, hey, have this letter read also to the Laodiceans. Mm-hmm. So there's this mutual like sharing of things. You know, Paul and Barnabas on their missionary journeys, they went to go see how the churches were in Acts 14 to encourage them. So when you read the New Testament, it just seems like they're always working together. And you know, John, for John's epistles, hey, go like send the brothers out in a way that's worthy of the Lord. There just seems to be this, you know, speed, Zenas the lawyer, right? And Titus, there's just so many things that are just kind of sprinkled in the New Testament about churches trying to serve other churches. Mm.
Stephen, the same question to you. And also you've done a little work on this as far as even Baptist history, but just talk about kind of the scriptures that are in mind, anything maybe addition to Dave, and then also just historically how we've kind of done this as Baptists.
Yeah, well, I mean, Dave listed the top scriptures. You know, I think Romans 16 as well. You just see such a robust relationship between the brothers and sisters in different church contexts. They know each other. Mm-hmm. They're aware of each other. They're aware of their ministry. And so you see this interdependence between churches. And of course, what's unique about the Baptist faith is that we've never been a state church. Every other Protestant faith movement has been lined up with a state or a colony or something like that, where you're supported by the government. And so Baptists have always looked at each other to get their support, that we've had no other place to go. And so we've leaned on other churches. So you think even about William Carey being sent to the nations, he preached his deathless sermon to a fraternity of Baptist pastors who knew one another, supporting one another. And so we began the modern missionary movement cooperatively in between Baptist churches. America, the same reality. I think Baptists have always, pretty much because we had to be in order to do the work, cooperating with one another.
Yeah. Another text that comes to mind is Acts 16. So Paul comes to Derbe and to Lystra, and there's the brothers there are saying, hey, this guy, Timothy, is, you know, they're speaking well of him. And then he takes Timothy with him. And so you have Paul coming from Antioch, and then you have these brothers there commending this other guy, Timothy, who obviously eventually does his own work in places like Ephesus. Cody, anything you would add to that? And then also I want to kind of just get into the story of how you got to Hamilton Baptist, where Stephen is. But anything you would add as far as the texts that come to mind of cooperation or just theologically, but then also how you made your way to Hamilton?
I mean, I think you guys covered all the texts. I think if you zoom out and just look at the big picture and just the nature of the church is we are representatives of Christ and his kingdom and of the capital C church. And so just from thinking about that, it makes sense that we would be helping each other and supporting each other. And so, yeah, you can zoom in on those verses like you guys did. But when you zoom back and just think about, well, what is the church? It makes sense that local churches who represent that church should be working and supporting each other in mission.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. How did you, so obviously you felt a call to ministry as a young man, but how did you make your way to Northern Virginia and to Hamilton Baptist?
Yeah. So I went to Bible college and graduated, got married and moved to Kentucky to go to seminary. And then as seminary was winding down and graduation was approaching, I got this sense in talking to my elders and just other people who got to know me over the years, like the next step for me was to find a place where I could think more about what I learned and put it into practice. Essentially, I was looking for an internship or a residency. And so that for me was just Google search, job search, looking at the seminary board. And I just saw this, you know, Hamilton Baptist Church was looking for an intern. And so, you know, Virginia, don't have anything against Virginia, still don't. thought, okay, this looks like a good opportunity. So it was just the desire to get practical experience that I applied, and somehow, some way, the Lord's kindness and providence, I ended up at Hamilton Baptist Church in 2018 for a pastoral internship.
That's great. Stephen, tell that story from y'all's end.
Yeah, we were looking, obviously, as Cody mentioned, for an intern. This is nothing. We've never done anything like this. We just celebrated our 135th anniversary on April 7th. We're an old church, but we've been doing things kind of a certain way for a long time. And so even the idea of bringing on an intern for a year or two to raise him up and then to send him out where he'll minister in another church was kind of a foreign idea to our church. And so working the church through that process, why this is good for us to be a blessing to other churches. You know, we are, you know, bringing in that cooperative idea, like, hey, an intern's not going to necessarily bless us. We're going to actually be pouring into this young man. But we want to bless other churches. That's what we're here for. So I think we posted at Southern and Southeastern. This is before we joined Pillar, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so we looked at Cody and like-minded, share the same kind of philosophy, ministry, theology. So we are excited to bring him on. Mm.
Tell us just a little bit, and Dave, I'm going to come to you in a minute about some more examples in Pillar, because again, this is what we're trying to do all the time. But tell us kind of what, Cody, I'll ask you this question. So what was training like at Hamilton? And then kind of what was, again, Hamilton is probably the primary sending. It is the primary sending church, but then also the other churches in the region there in Northern Virginia were a part of this. So tell us a little bit about how training went at Hamilton, but then also how you got connected to some of the other brothers that are up there as well.
Yeah. So I think it's important to note that when I came to Hamilton as an intern, I was not coming with the intent to plant a church. That was like one of the, you know, many questions on the form, like, would you be willing to consider this? And I just, of course, yes, I wanted the internship. So you say yes to questions like that. And so that's what I did. But you passed the polygraph. But I thought I would come in, do this, and then go somewhere else and, you know, be a pastor. But as I came in, and we were reading books and discussing books weekly on theology, on the church, on mission. And so there was that weekly activity going on. And then I was also getting teaching opportunities, whether that was Sunday school, teens, or preaching from time to time. And then as, you know, and then right away, shepherding opportunities. Hey, there's college students. Hey, there's other guys your age. Hey, there's guys older. Just jump in and shepherd them. And so it was just this jump in, start shepherding people. And as time went on in that internship, I would get more and more responsibilities or some more leadership opportunities. And so I don't know if there's anything super unique among, you know, other internships, but reading books, teaching opportunities, shepherding opportunities. As far as getting to know other churches in the area, I believe when I came, it was that fall in 2018. That's when Hamilton Baptist joined the Pillar Network. And so, and for us, that looks like they were meeting monthly with other pastors. And so, of course, as the intern, I would go to these meetings, and it's there where I just got to hear stories of other pastors. And what I loved about our region is there's churches of different sizes and different ages. Right. And so there's Hamilton, who's been, you know, around since Moses. And then there's other churches who are 2 years old. I remember, you know, meeting other pastors who were 2 years old, others who are 15 years. And it was just getting to know them and hear their stories and getting their perspective. So that's how I got exposed to the Pillar and the other pastors in my area.
And Stephen, you guys were sort of intentional, though, in letting him not just receive from you guys, but also try to bless some of the other churches in the region. What did that sort of look like?
Yeah, well, Cody quickly demonstrated that he's been gifted in preaching. And so he had quite a number of opportunities to preach at these churches. And I may be misremembering, but it seemed like once a month he was gone preaching at another brother's church. As he mentioned, a number of these churches are smaller. It's kind of single vocational pastor guy. And so to have a guy in our region who can kind of come in and deliver a sermon, I think was a huge blessing to those churches. Mm. And certainly, I think it was a blessing to Cody to give him more reps in the pulpit and hone those skills and abilities. And once we begin to identify, hey, Cody's going to be a church planner, I think the relationships begin to change, as a lot of these guys are church planners and in our region. And so got real excited about being part of that and being able to raise up Cody in ways that I just don't understand, having never planted a church. Mm.
We talk, our international guy jokes about our three P's. We, you know, as cooperation, we provide prayer, people, and then pounds, money. And so in some sense, all these churches were able to provide some aspect of help for you, Cody, in establishing the church in Lovettsville.
Yeah. And so, I mean, all of them I went to for wisdom and just thinking about how they pastor their churches, right? And again, they were at different stages in their church life. And then, many of them, all of them in our region provided to some level some financial support. One was a 7-year-old church plant at the time, and they had the mobile equipment that we needed. So they gave us their trailer, which they were very happy to get rid of. And it was a blessing to us. And so, I'd say, I can't remember all three P's exactly, but, all of the above.
Yeah. We'll have to get our European brother on to talk about that. Dave, tell us, so we obviously do this in other places. Sometimes the partnership, like maybe tell a little bit about the kind of story of what we did in Bangkok, but sometimes the story is just financial giving. Sometimes it's people, sometimes it's just prayer. Talk about how we try to do cooperative planting in our regions at Pillar.
Well, I think you have to first look at just the heartbeat of who Pillar is. And because we are theologically aligned and we have built relationships of trust, well, then it actually makes it a lot easier to actually cooperate. So let me share maybe a couple stories. I mean, I think the Bangkok's a unique one because, you know, we had brothers that, you know, because of COVID couldn't get back into China. They're members of Third Avenue, which is a Pillar church. So they're coming to our region in Charlotte, wanting to get to Bangkok, right, to, you know, plant a church for English speakers, expats, but also reach people who are in Thai and maybe some closed countries around there to send them back to their nations. That was a great, great idea. So when they came and said, hey, we'd love to talk to the churches in Charlotte to help support this work. Well, we already trusted them because they're coming from a Pillar church. So we just had a couple lunches and invited our Pillar pastors, and not just Pillar pastors, but we try to encourage other churches to support good work. So we had two lunches, one in Charlotte, one in Rock Hill, where I'm at, just south of Charlotte. And within those two lunches, we raised the church planter's salary. So instead of him raising support for an entire year, we were able to, get them on the field within 4 months. A year later, the church was constituted. The summer before they were constituted, our church sent four people to spend the summer with them, just to encourage them and help be good, faithful church members, to show that young church plant what it is to be a healthy church. Since then, we've had three or four churches in our area go and visit their church and help put on a conference. So they want to do Reach for Thai. So the plant started, now it's 2 years old, but it's not just, the partnership hasn't stopped. There's still a collaborative supporting and encouraging of the work there. So that might be one, but it doesn't even have to be something that's international. I think the guys in Boston did a fantastic job. You know, they raised up very similar. They had a guy that they trusted. And because they're regularly having lunches and meetings together, they learned to trust the brother that's being planted. So a church planted last 2022, and Scott Cope, we have, you know, seven churches came together to give people money, right? And relationships, of course, but 28 people formed the core team from seven different churches in the Boston area. Mm. That's just beautiful, right? Yeah. So now this church is now alive, but everyone's sharing the similar DNA. We know what we're about. We know what the church is. And I just think the stories are like that are happening more and more. But I think just the beauty of what, you know, Stephen and Cody have done, it's a generosity, right? I mean, this is an implication of the gospel. We believe that the gospel is the power of God for salvation for all who believe. right? Mm. To the Jew first and also to the Gentile, Cody's first sermon, right? The topical sermon that he preached, right? So we believe that. And because we believe that, we're willing to sacrifice for it. You know, Stephen, you know, I was so encouraged with what Hamilton did for Cody and like, you know, how much their church gave, not just financially, but some of their best people, some of their best elders, right? To help strengthen Cody, a young church planter that now he's going to plant, but he's not going to plant alone. He's got these godly men who have been elders. Well, that's beautiful, but it also hurts, right? It hurts to to send out some of your best, right? And, you know, and listen, when we plant, we give generously, and it's not always going to, like, the new elders are not going to come around the corner. It's not like we plant an elder, we send out three elders, and then God's, oh, you guys were so gracious in sending out three elders. We have these three other elders who are just going to start visiting your church right now. Like, it just, that's not the way it works, but we don't care, right? Because the main goal is not our own local church. It's the glory of God. So I think when we have relationships, we have theological alignment, this kind of work is actually a lot more feasible and really fun.
Yeah, it's good. Stephen, y'all obviously did this a few years ago. Are y'all considering doing it again? Also, kind of lessons learned, like what do you think went well? What would you maybe do differently this time? Yeah, I would love to know, just for the brothers out there who are starting to think through this kind of thing, just help them think about the road ahead.
Yeah, well, just to cycle back real briefly, when Cody went to every Pillar church and preached in the pulpit, every one of those pastors invited him to ask for their people to come. That was part of the opportunity. It's like, hey, we're planning this church. Your pastor said it's okay for you to come and join us. Love to get to be able to talk to you more about that. So certainly prayers were offered and pounds, if you will. But I know a lot of these churches were open to people going, and certainly people from other churches were able to go, even though maybe the leadership and the bulk of those going came from HBC. But I was just real encouraged by that. Yeah, we're looking in the near future of doing this again and trying to learn from how we did it last time. So we're right now thinking 2028 is, and I know that seems like a long time, but as Dave mentioned, it was painful for Hamilton to do this. And, you know, when there's some things we're trying to do as a church right now, it's hard for us to do multiple, you know, planning church and some of the other initiatives that we're working on now. But we are thinking 3 to 4 years out at this point of being able to plant in Berryville, Virginia as a growing community, maybe one gospel preaching church, maybe zero. And we know that there's a great need there. Hmm. And it's, to be honest, it's kind of centrally located in our region. So we're excited about that. We probably have 30 or 40 members of our church coming from this town. So I think we could probably get a good core group willing to go. We want to kind of turn up the dial on collaboration and cooperation amongst our Pillar churches. So Hamilton really took the lead on Lovettsville Baptist Church, and I'm sure there'll be a leadership position for us in this next round. But but even from the kind of the very beginning, just the dreaming, the strategizing, getting the network, our local group of guys together, and praying, considering, thinking how we can link arms even more faithfully to get this off the ground. So we've already begun to have those conversations maybe a year or so ago. And that's kind of where we're headed. Yeah.
That's great. Cody, from your kind of your side of it as a planter and the guy who kind of went through the internship and then was sent out, just encouragement for other brothers who are considering this kind of thing, and then things that you thought went well, things you would kind of encourage them for the future just to think about as they would maybe undertake something similar to what you've done.
Yeah. So as the internship turned into, I forget what I became an associate pastor on staff at Hamilton / church planner, really long title. Mm-hmm. but I think the biggest thing to remember is doing this well often takes time, right? Mm-hmm. And there is an urgency in us, right? We want to see the gospel spread. We want to see churches planted. But sometimes in our urgency, we can try to go faster than we ought to go. And I think that's one of the things that Hamilton, Stephen led us to do well was let's take our time. and make sure that you're ready to go. I mean, there's always going to be areas you're not quite ready for, but let's make sure you're ready to go. Let's make sure you have the support you need. Let's make sure if there's areas for me that you need to grow in. And for me, it was some leadership opportunity. You know, I just didn't have those before. And so let's make sure you get those and can experience that before you're out on the field. And so I think that's one of the biggest, if I was encouraging, and I am, other brothers in this situation, is it's going to take some time, and that's okay. That seems to be how the Lord works. He's not concerned about our efficient methods. And the kingdom's like a mustard seed, right? You plant it, you water it, and you grow. And so that'd probably be my biggest encouragement, is don't worry about the time it's going to take.
Yeah, it's good. I remember years ago, a brother that would be a well-known brother just saying, nobody's ever regretted being slow to start their ministry because it sets up for a longer run. There are plenty of people who've regretted going too quickly. And so I think that's a really, really helpful encouragement. Dave, I'll just let you end it. Kind of just any final encouragement for our pastors out there listening, our regions. Obviously, we want to do this more and more. I mean, we've had stories like guys in Texas saying we need to plant a church in Fort Worth and inviting a guy to come do it. We're trying to do this all over the place. Hamilton and Lovettsville have been an example in the Northern Virginia region, have been an example that we want to hold out there. But just any final words of encouragement to the pastors in the regions out there?
I would say just pray. Pray and ask God, can we do this? You know, I think oftentimes we look at what we can do personally as our own local church, and our own local church is limited with resources. It's limited with people. But when you start thinking collaboratively, the limits tend to go down. Hey, we don't have a planter. Well, hey, there's a church in town that actually has an associate pastor who wants to go somewhere else, and he's ready to be a lead pastor. Oh, then we have that solved. Hey, we don't have the money. Our church is just, we might be able to do $3,000 or $4,000. Hey, well, that's fine. There's 10 other churches in our area that can also do the same thing. And now you have a budget. So just, we think what we can do, just do what you can, right? We don't want to play guilt on anybody for what you feel like you have to do. We know that, you know, every church life and every church season is different. But I want us to be thinking and praying. You know, right now we have guys, in Hampton Roads, Virginia. They're like, hey, there's so many Spanish speakers here, and none of us have any Spanish speakers really in our congregation, but we want to reach this community. So they came together, 8 churches, and said, let's hire a pastor and plant a church together. Well, praise God. That's collaborative work. You know, so I think that pray, you know, ask questions, and then just be looking for what the Holy Spirit's doing. You know, the Holy Spirit is doing thousands of things, and there may be things that are happening right in front of us that we're missing because we're not thinking about it. So if we're praying, trying to be sensitive to the Spirit, and just looking at opportunities that may be developed, you never know what could come.
Yeah. Well, we're thankful the Lord lets us be a part of this work. Brothers, thank you guys for joining. And certainly we pray the Lord blesses this sort of effort in the days ahead with the Pillar Network.
The Pillar Network exists to equip, plant, and revitalize churches all over the world, sharing a common DNA of biblical authority, gospel proclamation, live expository preaching, elder-led congregationalism, confessionally Baptistic theology, and kingdom-minded cooperation. To connect with us, visit thepillarnetwork.com.